Hello, warriors. Welcome to A Spiritual Warrior, a podcast that helps faith-based individuals mature spiritually through the Word of God, prayer, and application. I'm your host, Shatoya Antwine, and I pray that this episode blesses you. So let's get started. Hey there. So I am Shatoya Antwine. I am the creator of A Spiritual Warrior, where I help faith-based individuals mature spiritually through the Word of God, prayer, and application. I have a podcast, I do monthly Bible scripture challenges, and I also have Shatoya Inspires, which is a daily inspirational devotion that I send out throughout the week just to help people be encouraged. So recently on Instagram, as well as here on Facebook, I shared a testimony of me purchasing a home that I was able to build from the ground up with the help of God. And I share a little bit about what has happened throughout this process and the blessings, but I told you guys that I would share the full testimony, and the full testimony, of course, is way too long to put in a post. So I decided to share it with you guys here live. So I'll give you guys a little bit of a backstory just to kind of bring you up to speed to how I got here to Atlanta. So I'm originally from Detroit. I moved to Chicago right after grad school, lived in Chicago for 5 years. After about 2 years of being in Chicago, I got tired of paying rent and I was like, I'm buying a house next year. And I said the same thing year two, year three, year four, and it had been 5 years of me being in Chicago and I had not purchased a home. And I think that's a testament within itself, because I think that a lot of times we set goals and say that we want to do something, but we lack the action behind it. So I had told myself that I would live in Chicago for 5 years. My top three places to live was Chicago, Atlanta, and DC. And I would give myself 5 years before I moved. So I actually activated my faith as well as action, and I started looking for houses in Atlanta. I also started applying for jobs in Atlanta as well. So long story short, I actually have this full testimony on YouTube, so you can watch it there. But I put an offer on a townhouse, and the next day I lost my job. So my word for the year in 2016 was faith. So I just asked God, like, should I still be moving to Atlanta or should I be here in Chicago? Do I need to renew my lease? Like, what do I need to do? So God gave me the okay to move to Atlanta. I struggled my whole first year being here. I did not work. I could not get a job my whole first year being here. After 12 full months of being unemployed and struggling, God gave me a job that I did not apply for, nor did I qualify for. So now we are in 2017, and I am just trying to work on catching up on bills. And now we're at 2018, and my goal for the year is literally to just pay off and pay down my debt. So surprisingly, my church was doing a church-wide study last year, and it was FPU, Financial Peace University, Dave Ramsey's course. So I went ahead and went through the program. I minimized a lot of my expenses, and I was like, I've literally done everything that I can to minimize my expenses so that I can pay off a lot of my debt. So the last thing that I could do, and one thing that he had recommended, was getting a roommate. And me, I like living by myself. I don't really want a roommate. So it was a pride thing for me. So it just so happened, one of my friends was looking for somewhere to live here in Atlanta. She had mentioned that she will only be here staying at the apartment for like 2 weeks each month. She would be traveling a lot. I was like, okay, that's perfect. So I reached out to her, put my pride aside, and let her know that I had an extra room and space at my apartment. So she came over not too long after to look at the apartment, the same apartment that I had been at that she had visited before. And July of last year, 2018, I went ahead and added her to my lease. And in the process of that, I had already been praying, just asking God, like, one, send somebody to me who I can be a blessing to, but also for them to be able to be a blessing for for me. I didn't just want to have somebody in my house living with me that God didn't destine to be in my house. So it all worked out. So we had 2018 last year. So I'm working on paying off debt. January of last year, one of the ways that God tends to speak to me is through people. So one of my friends asked me, she's like, why haven't you purchased a home yet? And I was like, well, I'm trying to, you know, work on paying off debt, and then I need to save money so that I could put down to purchase a home. And she was like, you don't need to put any money down. And I was like, yes, I do. So she ended up telling me about this program that she went through. The program is NACA. She went through the program, and she was able to purchase a home through them a couple years ago. So I started researching the program. Now we're in January of this year. I started researching the program, just learning more about it. So basically the program is they pay for your down payment, they pay for your closing costs. There's no points or fees. They don't care what your credit score is, but you can't have like derogatory things and like that on your credit report. And you can also buy down your interest rate to 0.05%. So I was just like, this is just like too good to be true, but I know it's real because she's went through it and she's purchased a home. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna start looking online to figure out the steps that I need to take to go through the program. So I go online, and one of the first steps is that you have to attend one of their workshops, which is a home buying workshop. So I'm looking online, and this is like February, and the next program or the next workshop wasn't available until June. So my lease was up November 11th this year. And I was like, that's kind of cutting it close. I've already heard that the program takes a long time to go through, and it's better to start early. So I went ahead and registered for the June class, but I was like, there's one that's coming up in March. I'm going to try to get in it. So if y'all know me and my faith, I started praying. I was like, I'm going to go. It was held at a church. I was like, I'm going to go to the church the night before, and I'm going to pray over the church that God has sent somebody to just open up a door for me to be able to get through this program and for me to be able to attend this workshop. So literally a couple days later, I'm going online every day to see if a spot will open up, like maybe somebody register, and they can't attend, they cancel their registration. So one day I go on and the registration opens up for March. So I'm like, good. So I went ahead and registered for the March one, and March 9th I went to the workshop. It's like a half a day workshop. They just let you know everything about the program. Everything seemed pretty legit. They just reiterated like over and over, like you have to have patience. So to give an example of like how NACA works, like one, you have to have a lot of patience. They are understaffed. To give you like a picture, it's like going into like DHS office, and I'm not saying anything bad about it. I didn't have bridge cards and Medicaid before. I'm just trying to paint a picture so y'all can understand like how the program operates. So they had mentioned that it takes like a couple weeks for you to be able to get your NACA ID number, and then just with them having so many people trying to go through the program, you have to wait a couple months before you can even get an appointment. So like I said, I've done my research. I've seen like some bad reviews of it not working out for people. I've called some friends and they know people who have gone through it. And then I still have my friend who I know that went through the program. So me, I'm like, I'm not going to come into agreement with other people's experience. Like I'm claiming that my experience is going to be positive and I'm not going to go through nothing that these people went through. So it didn't take me a couple weeks to get my ID number. It literally took a couple days, and they said it takes a couple months to get an appointment. I got my appointment within 2 months. So my appointment was scheduled for May 30th. So this is March. So right after I left that workshop, I am big on faith and activating my faith. So what I did is I went to Lowe's and I bought a key. So it's literally, I still have it on my keys. It's literally a key and it has like home on it. So I was just using this as like an activation of faith. So whenever I'm coming in and out of my apartment, like I know that this is only going to be temporary, and just a reminder for me that I need to be purchasing a home this year. So that was it. I went ahead and started looking at homes online. I started praying over every person that would be involved in this process, from my counselor that I would get with NACA, whoever my builder would be, whoever the contractors would be, whoever my realtor would be. Like I literally started praying over this whole entire process. So then we are at April. So my appointment is coming up. We're at April. So my approach right now, I haven't necessarily started saving. I'm just trying to cut down on my debt so my debt to income ratio can come down. So I have money to pay off my car note, to pay off a credit card, and to pay off a loan. And I shared this testimony on social media earlier this year. So I have been struggling trying to figure out if I should pay that off, because I knew once I paid that off, those accounts were going to close and my credit score was going to drop. So I was like, I can do that, or I can pay down some cards so that no accounts are closed and my score don't drop. So I was like, God, what do you want me to do? So I just went in prayer and I shared this like I'm literally in my prayer closet, and I didn't open my Bible billions of times, and this one time these checks fall out of my Bible. So another act of faith, about a year or so ago, I wrote out a check for each debt that I had and signed it just as a act of faith that I'm going to pay them off, or the Lord is just going to cancel them in Jesus' name. So I'm flipping through the checks and I'm like, oh, I paid this off. And everything was paid off in the order that I'm flipping through these checks. And I had no order as far as when I needed these debts to be paid off. So the next one was one that I hadn't paid off. And it was one of the ones that I had been struggling with. Like, should I pay it off or put the money towards something else? So I went ahead and just paid it off. I'm like, okay, this is a sign from God. Like, this don't make sense, but I'm gonna trust you anyways. So I went ahead, I paid my car note off. I paid my credit card off, and I pay a loan off. So they all hit the credit bureaus at different times. So of course my credit score dropped 13 points. And then like a few days later or a week or so later, it went up 7 points. And then a couple of days later, it went down like 17 points. And I was just like, God, like, I trust you. Now, one, NACA doesn't care what your credit score is, but in my mind, like, I have a backup plan. I was like, well, if NACA don't work out, if I choose to go through a lender, I still want to make sure that my credit score is high. So that was that. So now I'm working on, like, activating my faith anymore. So I went ahead and started to look at a house that I had been seeing. So another way that God speaks to me, so one, through people. He speaks to me through words. So I kept seeing the word lake and lakes like everywhere. And it was a community that I wanted to live in. So I was like, maybe I just need to go and look at it and just get information on it. So I went ahead and did that. And then in the midst of this, I had been led to start fasting. So I fast and pray a lot. I mentioned this in one of my posts, but literally this year has been a year of fasting and praying. So I was led to fast with a friend. So we fasted April to May for 21 days. And the topic of the fast was new beginnings. So we had specific things that we were praying for. And then one of the things obviously was home. So me purchasing a home was a part of the prayer and fasting. So sometime in May, my church was doing renovations and our floors had been stripped, and my pastor had wanted all of us to go into the sanctuary, and he wanted us to write people, prayers, and promises that we wanted God to answer and fulfill, so that when the sanctuary was complete, we would literally be walking on our prayers and the promises of God. So one of my prayers that I wrote on the floor was for me to be able to purchase a home, and the promise that God gave me was Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So I went ahead and did that. So another way God speaks to me, he'll keep showing me the same thing over and over again. So that was May 19th. So that following afternoon, I went ahead and I went to an ordination. And they started singing this song called Standing in the Need of a Blessing. And I never heard it before, ever in my life. And I'm listening to the lyrics, and it's Philippians 4:19. I was like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. Like, God really gonna give me a house? So the song is playing. So now we're at a couple weeks later, like May 26th. So my NACA appointment is coming up May 30th. So in my mind again, I'm still trying to have my backup plan. So I'm like, on Monday, I'm sitting in the parking lot at church waiting to go in. And I was like, on Monday, tomorrow, I'm going to call my credit card companies and I'm going to see if I can get a soft pull so that my credit isn't hit and they can give me increases on my credit card so that my utilization ratio goes up. So That was my plan. So I'm literally sitting in the car and I get an email about my credit score. So I go ahead and check my email, open it up, and my credit score went up 38 points. I was like, oh God, like I trust you. Like you don't need my help. I ain't calling nobody tomorrow. So my credit score has gone up 38 points. I go into church. And guess what the pastor didn't mention in the sermon? Philippians 4:19. I'm just like, okay, God, I hear you and I trust you and I trust you even when it don't make sense. So in the midst of me trying to pay off debt and preparing for this appointment, one of the things that God was leading me to do was like to sow seeds into people. So our church was doing renovations. I sowed a seed to church. Somebody asked for prayer and finances. I was led to send them some money. Somebody else was struggling. Like whenever God places something on my heart, like I go ahead and act on it. So in the midst of me, like I'm trying to save, like, and God keeps saying like, sow a seed here, sow a seed here. So I'm like, God, like I'm going to be broke. I keep sowing all these seeds and I'm trying to buy a house. So what I learned through that is that God will test you in the area that you're seeking him in prayer to see if you really trust him. So I'm seeking God in finances, but he having me sow seeds and send money to other people, but he's telling me to do it. It wasn't me. So I was like, I trust you. So that's just one thing that I learned from that. So now I got my appointment, May 30th, NACA appointment. I go in. Another reason why I didn't think that I could purchase a home. So one, I knew that I needed to pay down debt, but also my taxes. So I go into NACA, give her all my paperwork and information and things. And I told her upfront, like about my taxes, like me, I thought I would need to wait until next year to file my taxes. So she asked me if there was anything that I was concerned about, and I told her like my taxes, and she was like, okay, I'm gonna answer all your information in. So at this point I'm already doing a new beginnings fast. The month of May, the week that I had my NACA appointment, I fasted every day. So when I fast from 6 to 6, no food, and just reading the Bible and praying. So she asked what my issue was or if I had any concerns, and I told her my taxes. She put in the information and she gives me the number that I could be approved for, and it was $80,000 more than what I needed or what I wanted to pay as far as like a mortgage goes. And I was like, this don't make no sense. And I was like, you know what? I've been fasting and praying for a miracle, so maybe this is my miracle that God gave me. So she gives me some action items that I need to complete, and she schedules me to come back in for June. And she's like, everything looks fine. Just bring back these documents and do what I, you know, put in your action items list. So I'm still going, praying over homes, communities that I want to live in. It's one home that I was like literally dead set on. And one of the reasons was it had everything that I wanted, and it also was a little bit lower than the price point that I wanted to pay. So, going through NACA, went to the appointment, June 26th comes. So one of the issues that I also was having was missions. So I went to Kenya last year, and I know this year God wanted me to go on another mission trip. So I kind of like X'd the mission trip out because I knew that I couldn't be going on the mission trip. The mission trip is $3,500, and also me trying to purchase a home. But it kept being on my spirit. So I'm like, okay, God, you want me to go on this mission trip or not? Like, send me a confirmation. He sent me a confirmation. I'm like, okay, you need to fund this trip. So made the decision to go ahead and go on missions. I go to my next NACA appointment, which is June 26th, give her my action item stuff. And in my head, I'm thinking I can go ahead and get submitted through underwriting since she said everything looked fine. So now she's like, I know that you have the amount of money saved, but we need to see it saved consistently for 3 months. So she's like, well, make your appointment to come back in August. And she also needed me to split my paycheck. So half of my paycheck needed to go to to a savings account at another bank, and the other half can go to my checking account, and I pay my bills out of that, and I pay my rent out of my savings account. So when she says, you got to split your check in half, I was like, I can't do that. And she was like, well, if you can't do that, then that means that you can't afford to purchase a home. And I was like, I'm thinking I'm going to have to switch bills and stuff around. So I'm like, you know what, God, I trust you. I went ahead to payroll and had it split. My next pay period, I feel like I had more money in my checking account than what then went away to my savings. I was like, okay, fine with me. So I'm saving money, still praying, going to the lots every Sunday after church. So now we are at July. So July, I'm led to do yet another fast. So this fast was 33 days. Again, friendship fast I did with a friend, and it was July to August for 33 days. And the name of the fast was double portion. So of course, another prayer point was purchasing a home. So just for God to give me double portion in regards to purchasing a house. So one Sunday, July 21st, I'm going to one of the homes that I was like dead set on. And as I'm there, I get a notification that the home is off the market. So I was like, you know what? Like, I'm dead set on this house. Like, it's pending now. Like, maybe God's saving it for me. Maybe, whoever put the offer in, maybe something gonna happen and it don't work out. And by the time I'm ready to buy a house, it'll be back on the market. That's just me and my crazy faith. So I'm leaving the community, and there was another community that I wanted to start looking at, but I was kind of going back and forth because I felt like it was a little bit more than what I wanted to pay. So I was like, you know what? I keep wrestling with this. Let me just go ahead and go over there. So I drive over there and get to the sales office, and it's a lady in a parking lot. Nobody's in the sales office. So the lady's like, do you have an appointment? I'm like, no, I'm just, you know, going out to look at homes on my own. That way, when I am ready to purchase, I'll know where I want to live at. So she was like, well, this community is at its final stage, and it's only one home available, and she's getting ready to show it to a client. She's like, well, you're more than welcome to come with us to see the home. But she was like, I also have another community that I work out of, and if you have time to come this afternoon, you can come by and look at it. So I didn't want to see the house that it only had the one available. I was like, I'll come later in the afternoon to the new place. So I was telling her about NACA and my situation or whatever. And she was like, oh, you'll be fine. You'll by the time you go back for your appointment in August, you'll have your pre-qualification letter. So I'm like, yes, I receive it. So that afternoon, I go to the community. I love the home. Again, I feel like it is a little bit more than what I wanted to pay, but I was like, God, you led me to this woman for a reason and to this community. So I just added it to my list on the places to go to pray for. So now my appointment, August 28th, ready to get submitted through underwriting. So I go to my appointment, I get there and sign in, and the receptionist is like, oh, we contacted you. We canceled your appointment because your counselor is out for the rest of the day. And I was like, nobody contacted me. I didn't get an email or a phone call. So I'm just sitting there waiting for her to let me know what I need to do. She continuing to take calls and talk to other people. I'm just being patient. So she like, let me see if I could get somebody else to see you. So another lady came in, and that was the last appointment for today. So the lady didn't even want to take me because she ready to go home. So she finally took me, and she was like, you know what? We have a new person that started this week. I'm gonna see if he's available to review your file. So literally it's only supposed to be a 30-minute appointment for them to see that I saved my 3 months and to submit me through underwriting. So she's among somebody that started new. I was thinking in my head like, Lord, I don't need nobody new touching my file. So he ended up just sitting in and she was just training him. So she's looking through my files. I give her my stuff. She was like, everything looks great. She was like, can you come back on Saturday and I can submit you through underwriting? I'm like, yes. So she's going through my stuff. Everything looks fine. She just rechecking everything again, and she gets to my tax returns. And she was like, oh, your counselor put some of your information here wrong. So she was like, let me go talk to my manager. So she go talk to the manager. I'm sitting there praying, making sure that it's just going to be okay. So she come back, she was like, the manager said I will have to wait until next year to file my tax returns and then I can get qualified. So I gave her a scenario. She went back in, talked to the manager again. He said no, came back. I told her something else and he said no again, came back. And she was like, okay, like this may work, but he had already left for the day. So she was like, she was like, go home and pray. I was like, I've been praying since you've been going back and forth to his office. She was like, go home and pray to see if he'll accept this for you to be able to get submitted through underwriting. So I go home and I pray. So there's this, it's called biblical prayer watch hours. So it's literally like certain hours to pray. It's 8 different watch hours and they're based off of certain things that have happened in the Bible at that particular time. So I'm just trying to think of any and everything that I can do, praying and fasting until I get a phone call from them the next day. So literally like the watch hours are from like 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's like every couple hours, like throughout the day. So I'm waking up out of my sleep, like every watch hour to pray. I'm on my knees in prayer, on my face in prayer, like, Lord, please, like, just let me be able to get submitted through underwriting. So she said she will call in the morning time. I hadn't got a call from her. So now it's about 4 o'clock and she calls and she says, you know, basically he won't accept it. I'll have to wait until I file my taxes. So at this point, like one, I'm exhausted because I've been praying for 12 hours. I'm disappointed. I didn't cry. My feelings hurt. And I was like, you know what? Like, God, you told me to go through this program. This wasn't my idea. So I had to start reminding him of what he told me and what he promised me. So I was like, you got to fix this. Like, let me know what it is that you need me to do or that you want me to do. I was like, do I need to stay at my apartment and just renew my lease and wait until next year? Do you want me to go the regular route through a lender? So I'm like just waiting for like an answer from God. So that next day, was it August 30th? I wrote in my prayer journal for God to send me a God-sent realtor and a God-sent lender and somebody who can work with my specific circumstance. And literally a couple minutes later, I got a contact for a realtor. So I didn't, she had told me that she had closings that day and if she didn't call me, for me to call her. So I'm like still on the fence, like I don't know if I'm moving ahead of God. So I didn't wait to call her until the following week. So I get on the phone with her, tell her my circumstance about these taxes. And I've been completely honest up front. I ain't been hiding nothing, letting people know what it is. So she was like, you'll be fine. She asked me what my debt was, what my income was. And she kind of gave me a rough number for what I could get qualified for. So the number that she gave me was like $150,000 more than what I wanted to pay for. And I was like, these numbers are just like not making sense. And two, I don't even know how that big. So she was like, she gave me the information to a lender and she told me to go ahead and submit my application and get a pre-qualification letter so that we can know for sure what it is that I could get qualified for before we go out looking at places. So all of this is the same day. Wednesday, I talked to her like 10:30 in the morning, submitted my application. By 1:30 in the afternoon, I had a pre-qualification letter. And I told her the same thing about my taxes. She was like, it could be a red flag, but if anything, you'll just have to have a CPA like draft you up a letter and you'll be fine. So I was like, okay, cool. That gave me some peace. So that was on Wednesday. So on Saturday, we were going to look at the two homes that I had narrowed down that I wanted to live in. So that Saturday morning, my realtor texted me like 2.99%. And I was like, interest rate? So she called me. She was like, the builders released an incentive last night and they are offering a 2.99% interest rate. They are giving you $5,000, or if I go, they will give $5,000 for incentives for you to use for upgrades or whatever you want. And they are also giving away $4,000 for closing costs. And let me see if I can find, I got a prayer journal that I literally have been writing all of my prayers in. So I wrote the night before, just for God to lead me to where he wants me to live, just to cancel any attacks of the enemy and his adversaries for Ephesians 3:20 blessings for $10,000 incentives, closing costs covered, down payment covered, washer, dryer, fridge, blinds included, and for favor. So that was my prayer request literally that night before. And that was, what, $9,000 in incentives? I was like, I've been going to this place since July. They ain't had no incentives. Zero. And the house also was upgraded. The bathroom was upgraded. And it had a covered patio on the porch, a covered porch. It included washer and dryer. It included a refrigerator. It included blinds. Like, everything that I needed, it was already included. And I could still use the extra money for whatever. So we go look at the house. The lady who I had met in the parking lot, she wasn't there. Her partner was there. So he ended up helping me. So we go look at the home, like the home. So we tell him we're going. So I have been trying to decide between a single family home and a townhouse. So we told him we will be right back. We want to look at a townhouse, which is a part of their company, so the sister company. We're going to look at their townhouses, and we're coming right back. So we leave, go look at the townhouse. I actually liked another home in the area, so we went to go look at that too. And something was telling me, like, tell my realtor to call him and tell him, like, we on our way. But I was, like, having nerves and anxiety. I'm like, let me just be cool. He know we coming back. So we get back to the community. My realtor's like, let's drive around one more time just to look at the home and just for you to just kind of take everything in. Like, you're about to purchase this home. Make sure that, you know, it's what you want. So I was like, it's what I want. Like, let's just go in. I was like, I saw people getting out their car, walking in, and I was like, I don't want nobody to take the house. She was like, what's for you is for you. I was like, you're right. So we went ahead and drove around to the house. So we come back and go in, and the guy we were dealing with, he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And we like, what's going on? He was like, well, it was a lady in here a couple months ago, and I called her to let her know about the incentives, but I didn't think that she was gonna come back, and she came back, and she being put under contract for the house. I said, Lord, fix it. Please fix it right now. So he just keep apologizing. And I'm just like, Lord, please fix it. So he was like, let me see what I could do. I feel so bad. And I'm thinking, like, why did you even call the person anyways? So he's trying to figure out what he can do. He's like, let me call the builder and see if we can work something out. So he calls the builder. And so that house was the only house that was available for that incentive. And it was already completely built and finished. And I think you had to close by the end of September, beginning October. So he calls the builder. The builder's like, well, if there's a home that has a water line and if there's a home that has cabinets in it, it has to have both, he'll consider it as stage 7. So within the building phase, like stage 7 mean like it's almost complete. I think it's like 9 or 11 stages. So it's like, if it has that, then, you know, I'll take it as a stage 7. She can use it. Yes, we was big mad. So he looks at his sheet and he's like, there's 3 potential homes that could have a water line or water meter and cabinets. So we drive around. I'm just praying, like, Lord, please let one of these houses have both. So we go to one house, no water meter. Go to the second house, no water meter, no cabinets. Or I think it may have had one or the other. We get to the third house, it has a water meter. It has cabinets. I said, praise the Lord. So at this point, I'm actually like, I'm still kind of down a little bit because I was like, I really wanted that house. It's the exact same plan. Only thing is it didn't have the covered porch. It didn't have the washer and dryer, the blinds, the refrigerator, and the upgraded bathroom, the tile and the showers. And I was just like, okay, like, I'll take it. And my realtor was like, no, you need to get out the house and go look inside the house and make sure, you know, it's what you want. So I appreciated that. So I'm getting out. I'm like, you coming in? She was like, no, you need to do this for you, not for me. So I go in and look at the house, and it's literally like bare, like nothing's in it. So the pictures that I've shared on social media of me writing on the walls and the floors and stuff, like, that's how it was. It literally was nothing in the house, but a shower was put in, the cabinets was in, and that was it. So I'm just looking like, okay, like the shower not that bad. It'll be fine. So I go back outside and she was like all of the things that it doesn't have, like you can get added on. Like you can get your fence added on, you can get a covered porch added on. She was like, if you want to get tile in your bathroom, like she has people that does renovations and things like that. But she was like, it's not a true deal breaker. Like the community is amazing. It's quiet. The home is beautiful. The incentives are just insane. So I was like, okay, I feel at peace about it. So we go ahead and go to the office and we go ahead and get, I put my earnest money down to go under contract. And then, of course, I have to use their lender if I want these incentives. So here we go back again. So I give him my information and, you know, he puts my application in, lets me know that I am approved and that I'll get an email of additional documents that I needed to send. Guess what was not on the list that I needed to send? Tax returns. I got a whole house without submitting not one tax return. So I get approved, pre-qualified, because there's literally stages of approval. So I get pre-qualified that Saturday. So that was September the 7th. So I used my incentives to buy my washer and dryer, my refrigerator, my island that's in my kitchen. I got extended so that people could sit at it. I got pendant lights added in the kitchen, and I had like $500 left over. I just had them take off the balance of my loan. And then they gave me the $4,000 for closing. So that next day, I went to the house, and that's when I wrote the scriptures and things on the floor and on the ceilings and on the walls. And even in that moment, I was like, what is for you is truly for you. Like, yes, I wanted that house, but something that was really important for me was to be able to write scriptures on my home. So my home could literally be built on the foundation of God. And had I got the other home, I would not have been able to do that. So that was actually something that was important to me on my list of things that I had. So it all worked out. So I did that. So now I have to do, there's conditional approval and then there's final approval. So conditional approval. So one, I raised all my money to go on missions. Actually had an overflow. Praise the Lord for that. So I'm in South Africa. I get an email for conditional approval and that they need me to explain a few things and to submit some more stuff. And it has to be done by September 30th. I got back from South Africa on the 29th. That Monday morning, I went ahead and submitted and answered all the questions that she had. So that was September 30th. On October 1st, I got my final loan approval. So I'm like, I'm almost at the finish line. My closing was scheduled for October the 22nd, and I had to close by October the 31st, or the incentives will go away. So preparing for closing and me still praying that everything still goes smoothly. So when they give me my documents as far as me getting approved, my mortgage amount is a couple hundred dollars more than what I had anticipated on paying. And I also have anticipated on paying any closing costs or down payment because I was going through NACA, and the money that I had saved, I wanted to buy my interest rate down and I wanted to buy new furniture for my house. So all of that money I had to use to put down. So the $4,000 that they gave me, it helped a lot. But I still had some money to put down. But grateful that I went through NACA, and I asked God, like, what was the point of me going through that? And it was discipline and finances. Had I not took a whole check away to be saving, I would not have had all that money to put down. So even though there was a delay, there was a detour, like God still directed me to the path that he had for me. And even though the program didn't work out, I still learned something from it. And it helped me to be disciplined in my finances. And I'm still keeping my half of my check going to savings. So final approval. Oh, another thing, I was going to buy new furniture, and my old furniture, I was just going to bless somebody. Like, so one of my prayers throughout this has for God to bless me, but for him to put me in a position for me to be able to bless somebody else. So I was going to buy new furniture, and if God sent me somebody who was in need, I was just going to give them my furniture. I've only had it for like 5 years or so, so it's still pretty much brand new. But I got my furniture, so when the Lord, I still have my old furniture in my house. When God send me some more funds for me to switch out my furniture, then I'll be able to bless somebody with the one that's in my house. So closing is set for the 22nd. Every week I'm still coming to this house to pray over it and just to kind of see the progress of it. So I come and I notice that my bathroom floors are the wrong color. And my sales agent, so I ended up going through the lady and not using that man. So she wasn't there, only he was there. And I told him like my flooring was wrong. And I was like, well, I'll talk to my lady when she comes in tomorrow or the day after. So he takes it upon himself to call the builder and to get contractors and vendors set up for them to switch out my tile. And with them doing that, they need to take up plumbing and toilets and all of this stuff. And it could push my closing day back. I said, oh no, y'all can keep that tile, the wrong tile on there. I'll be just fine. Like I need to close by October 31st. So my sales agent comes in and she's just like literally upset that he even went behind her back to do that. Her approach was she was going to see if the builders could just give me extra money towards closing for the mess up. And later on down the line, I can switch out my own tile on my own. So I was like, yes, that works. I'll take that. So long story short, they wouldn't have been able to do that because my loan had already been final approved. So my closing date just got pushed back a couple days. So it's supposed to be the 22nd. It ended up being the 25th. So I mentioned that my mortgage was going to be a little bit more than what I wanted it to be. But I was like, God, I trust you. Like, you literally led me through this entire process. Like, you're going to make a way in my finances for me to not be burdened or anything with having to pay an extra couple hundred dollars than what I expected. So my lender told me that they will send me my final disclosure 10 days before closing. So my 10 day before closing, I fasted, of course. And I was like praying, like, Lord, please let my closing costs go down and please let my mortgage amount go down. So I fast from 6 to 6. I had assumed that they would send an email with my disclosure in the morning time. It's 4 o'clock. I am starving. I'm like, Lord, they haven't sent it by now. They're just going to send it in the morning. Like, I need to eat. And as soon as I said that, I got an email of my final disclosure. I opened it up and my closing costs went down and my mortgage amount went down to the exact amount that I pay for my rent. I was screaming so loud in my car. Like, God is so faithful. My prayer was for my mortgage to be what my rent was or less, and for my closing costs to be like literally little to nothing. But God worked it all out. So I had a long road that started all the way back in January, February with NACA and not working out, but I didn't give up. I still kept going to God. I stood strong on his promise that he gave to me, and I got my house without having to submit no tax return. So the main thing that I have been worried about, like, God just wiped it away. Like, girl, don't worry about that. So I'm just thankful and grateful for having to go through this, for me to be able to be in this house, and for my house to not only be a blessing for me, but to be a blessing for other people. So I kind of wanted to share with you guys just some of the things that I pray for, and just to kind of encourage you guys with if you're trying to purchase a home or whatever it is that you're trusting God to do, I just pray that this inspires you and just leads you to trust God. So let's see. So February 27th, I prayed for my finances to pay off or down debt, to be intentional with spending and paying off debt, for me to be approved with NACA, for me to find a home that exceeds my expectations, and this house exceeds my expectations, a mortgage that is under my budget, which it is right on my budget, or at least what I was paying in rent, for me to receive what God has for me to trust him, be patient and diligent, for me to operate in God-sized faith, for me to close on my home by my lease end date. So my lease was up November 11th, I closed on October 25th, like perfect timing. I wrote two areas that I wanted to live in as far as communities and one of those areas that I have written is where I'm living now. And another request was for God to be shown through this process, which just hearing this testimony has been all God. So whatever you guys are waiting on God to do or seeking for him in prayer, just like write a list and be specific about it. So March 7th, before I even went to the NACA workshop, I wrote a list of things that I wanted in a home. So I wanted to close by November 11th, which I did. I wanted a brick home. My home has brick. I wanted a bedroom that was 3 to 4 bedrooms. I have that. I wanted a finished basement. I don't have a finished basement. What I have learned here in Georgia is they do not have a lot of basements. And if I wanted a basement, it would have been an extra $30,000 to $40,000 and it would not have been finished. So I'm okay without my basement. I wanted a gated or fenced-in backyard. I don't have my fence, but it's something that I can add on by next summer is the plan. I wanted a front porch, and I was specific on it being a raised porch. Like some homes, like you can enter at street level, and I didn't want that. So my porch is raised. Same thing with my front door. I didn't want it to be on a lower level either, so that's raised or elevated. I want it to be in a nice, quiet community. This community is... you can hear a pin drop. Like, it's just amazing how quiet it is here. I wanted no HOA fees. I have another request I'll read, and I think I put little to none. But my HOA fees is like $25 a month. Like, that's little to nothing, so I'll take that. I wanted a single family home, which I have. I wanted a kitchen with lots of counter space, which I have. I wanted a kitchen island, and I was specific. I did not want my sink to be in my island, and it is not. I wanted hardwood floors, which I have. I wanted an updated home, which I have. I wanted a 2-car garage, which I have. I wanted a room for my bookshelf. And so my home actually has a loft, so I'm going to at some point get shelves built into the wall. And there goes my little small home library. I wanted a prayer room, which I have. I wanted high ceilings, which I have. I wanted a side-by-side touchscreen refrigerator. I was specific. I didn't get the touchscreen, but it is side-by-side. I wanted a 5-burner gas stove, which I have. I wanted a nice, spacious living room that was cozy for my life group. So I teach Bible study at my house every week. So just making sure that the space was accommodating for them. So that's me just not thinking about myself, but also thinking about my home for other people and people who would be here. I wanted a nice, spacious dining room, which I have. I wanted a side-by-side washer and dryer, which I have. You know, some dryers are stackable. I wanted a laundry room, and I specifically wanted it on the master level. It's on a lower level. I'm completely fine with that. I wanted a front door closet because my apartment did not have it. I have my front door closet. I wanted a master bath with double sinks, Jack and Jill, which I have. The glass door shower, I do not have, but I can add it on. And again, I have the two areas that I wanted to live in one is where I live now. So that was back in March. So in May, God started speaking to me like, okay, you've written your list of things that you want, but what about what I want for your house? And I was like, oh, all right. So one of the things, or some of the things that God spoke to me is a convenient location for my life group. So I didn't want where I would be living to be like across town from where the people that come to my life group already drive to. So making sure that it's still convenient for them, for my house to be a blessing to others, for me to be able to just host dinners and open up my home to others, a place where the presence of God is felt. A place of peace, laughter, good times, and endless memories. And then June 6th, he spoke some more stuff to me on just for it to be a comfortable, warm, welcoming, friendly environment, a place of miracles. This house is a miracle, and people who enter it, I pray that they receive miracles too and experience them here in this house. A place for answer prayers for myself as well as other people. A home that is livable for others, where God can allow me to be a blessing to others who need a place to stay. I was like, ooh, that's like a big one. But I'm grateful. Like, God has given me this whole huge house. I'm sleeping in one room. So just like I was able to bless my friend who was able to come and stay with me, we were both able to bless each other. Like, I learned a lot from that, and just also it was a humbling experience. So God has given me this house. This house belongs to the Lord. So however God wants to use this home, then that's how it's going to be used. If he sends people that need a place to stay, my house is open for them, and I'm completely fine with that. And I also noticed today when I was reading through this, like on April 8th, I wrote to be generous in giving. So maybe that's why God was having me sow all them seeds, because I probably had been praying for that and didn't even realize it. I'm almost done. So I actually wrote out a prayer. So sometimes I write notes, like bullet points, and sometimes I actually write out prayers. So I'm actually going to read this prayer to you guys. And this was on June 6th. So I have, Lord, I pray that you would give me guidance in this home buying process. Please direct me in all decision-making, questions, thoughts, and actions. Please give me clarity at all times. Help me to trust you. Help me not to try and figure things out on my own. I declare and decree favor over this entire process. Help me to praise you at all times, and don't let me talk myself out of blessings or dismiss or discount what you're doing with thinking that things are a mistake. I declare and decree that I will qualify for a mortgage of X amount, which I did qualify for. And I declare and decree I will be able to afford my home with no burdens, no struggles, no mismanagement of funds. I declare and decree my taxes won't be high, which they are not. My utilities will not be high. My HOA fees will be zero or little to nothing, which they are literally nothing. I declare and decree I will purchase new construction, which I have, and I will have no issues with closing with NACA. NACA ain't work out, but it's okay. I pray for patience, diligence, and removal of any procrastination. I pray that you will exceed my prayer request for a home. I pray the purchase price exceeds my expectations. I pray my mortgage exceeds my expectations. I pray for a miracle home, which I have. I pray for miracles in this entire process for myself and everyone involved. So I have been praying for the lender, the builders. Like, I have been praying for everybody before I even knew who they are, and I still have been praying for them. I ask, Lord, that you will rebuke doubts, worry, fear, and negativity from myself and all those involved. May we all be blessed in this process. I pray for a home that completely exceeds my expectations. I pray, and I started getting specific on what I wanted, so be specific in your prayers. I pray that I will have a master bedroom, a guest bedroom, a prayer room, an office, a room for my future child, a room for my future husband, a sitting porch. So I got all those things. A basement. Don't got my basements, okay. An island with the kitchen without the sink. New appliances, new furniture, new debt, no new debt incurred, no need to take out a second mortgage, prayer for savings, praying that I have a formal dining room for my life group and for dinners, for me to have a large living room and basement for my life group studies. I pray against every attack, plot, scheme, tactic, and strategy of the enemy right now in Jesus' name. I cancel it right now in Jesus' name. Destroy it in the name of Jesus. Block it in the name of Jesus. Don't let it prosper in the name of Jesus. Don't let it manifest in the name of Jesus. It's power in the name of Jesus. And I think a lot of times we pray for stuff, but we forget about warfare. Stop it in the name of Jesus. Anything that has started and been planted, uprooted right now in the name of Jesus. I declare and decree my taxes won't affect the my home buying process in the name of Jesus. I will qualify for priority membership. That was with NACA. And just commanding all demons, witches, warlocks, evil spirits, adversaries, unclean spirits, everything working with Satan to flee right now in the name of Jesus. And I bind them and cast them all out in the name of Jesus. And I pray that you will seal up every crack, creak, and crevice, preventing them from re-entering or trying to enter. I plead the blood of Jesus over this entire home buying process. I lose favor, blessings, and miracles in the name of Jesus. Do what only you can do, Lord. Blow my mind. Help me to save, budget, and spend according to your will. I pray for a large backyard with a fence. I have my large backyard. I got to get my fence. And I am asking boldly. So I always ask for God-sized prayers. I ask for a deck and a pool. I don't even need no pool, but I was just activating faith. But I can have a slab for a deck to be built or whatever. May miracles, signs, and wonders be done. May your will be done. May you meet me at my level of expectations and exceed them. I pray that this is a, it doesn't even make sense or seem real miracle, which it is, because taxes is a big thing that you need to submit for buying a house. Let you be glorified, seen, and magnified. May others be inspired, encouraged, and accept Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. And I also pray that I get money from the sellers, which I did, and that I have money to buy my interest rate down, which I didn't need to do because they offered it at a low price. I think interest rates now are like 4%. And that I can bless someone through and even after this prayer. Amen. So I pray that that encourage y'all. Y'all make some lists on things that y'all are waiting for God to do for you, and also ask him what it is that he wants from you. Ask him. Pray and watch for confirmations and signs, and don't get ahead of God, even if it seems like it's not making sense or it's not going to work out. Be obedient to whatever God has called and told you to do. Believe that God can do the impossible because he did it for me. He can do the same thing for you. Pray Ephesians 3:20 blessings. You can pray Philippians 4:19 blessings, which was what my promise was. And also know that everything is not going to happen on your time, and it's not going to happen the way that you wanted it to happen. It's not going to happen the way that you expected it to happen, but it's going to happen the way that God wanted it to happen, and you have to trust his plans. So I pray that this testimony encourages you and it increases your faith and draws you closer to seek God and trust him. So I appreciate you guys for tuning in, and I'll let y'all know when I have some more testimonies to share with you guys.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. Make sure that you check out the show notes, and I'll chat with you next time. Be blessed.